Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Come to you this Monday after the Pelicans' six-game homestand concluded on Sunday, a loss to the Washington Wizards, which followed after a comeback win, over the San Antonio Spurs, which gives you an idea of just how inconsistent this Pelicans team. So going to recap those games for you here today on Locked On Pelicans. Going to talk about the future a little bit, the playoff standings for the Pels. Where do they stand now? Is there still a chance of the playoffs, or was going 3-3 on this past homestand just not enough? They do have a three-game road trip coming up against good teams in the Eastern Conference, going to Toronto, to Detroit, and then back on Saturday, I think it is, to Washington. Washington, who is 8-2 in their last 10. And that whole idea of the last 10 games is going to be a theme here, something I want to talk about today. So we're going to have a jam-packed Locked On Pelicans for you here today, this Monday, get you started with your week right. Now, before we get into the weekend's games at Friday and Sunday, win and loss, don't forget Locked On Pelicans is on iTunes, is on Audioboom, available wherever you get your podcasts, the Google Play Store, the iTunes Store, basically it's anywhere. Stitcher, that's the one I use to get them on my phone. I listen to a few different ones now. So make sure you're subscribed so you get it when it comes out, usually 6 a.m. I always tweet out the links. But the easiest way is subscribe to it, get it downloaded to your phone, listen to it on your drive to work, your drive home from work. Or if you're bored during lunch, it's always a good opportunity. It helps to make a complete and balanced meal. You'll get healthier by listening to Locked On Pelicans. My girlfriend, who's a lawyer, is staring at me right now, mouthing that claim is not backed up by a doctor. And I probably shouldn't make it. So no suing, you guys. So yeah, it's where all the podcasts are. Don't forget, there's one for the Saints, Locked On Saints. Offseason's just getting started. Who are they going to be targeting in the free agency, in the draft? Also, I know you all like basketball since you're listening to this in the first place. Locked On NBA, the once-a-week podcast, hosted by David Locke, the head of the Locked On Network, is a wonderful way to catch up on what's going around the league. Subscribe to all of those. Subscribe to Locked On Pelicans. It doesn't actually make you healthier. All right, so let's start with the Spurs game. And, of course, after I say Locked On Pelicans won't actually make you healthier, whatever I said, my girlfriend looks at me and goes, but it might make you happier. And then I reminded her that the Pelicans lost to the Wizards on Sunday night. So it's probably not going to make you happier. But it might make you more informed. So anyway, the Spurs game. Pelicans down, I think it was 9 at halftime. Looking like this one was going to be over. And then came out smoking in the third and fourth quarters. Putting up 37 points in the third. 34 in the fourth. And this one was really what you want to see from this team and what gives you hope that they can make the playoffs and be, you know, not necessarily like they're going to do damage in there, but at least get in there and snag that eighth seed. And again, after I talk about these two games, I'm going to talk about the race for that eighth seed and give you a little bit of perspective there. But Solomon Hill had 5 3-pointers against the Spurs, had 16 points. Anthony Davis had a fairly quiet night of 16 points but 22 rebounds. Buddy Hield, quiet. Drew Holiday had a big game, though. 23 points, 11 assists. Donatas Motiejunas had 10, got into double digits. Tyreke Evans, off the bench, had 11 points. You had Etwan Moore grabbing 13. And then Terrence Jones scoring 21. All around, this team was scoring. They shot 51.6% from the field. They made 13 of 33s for 43.3 points. By contrast, and this helped the Pelicans, especially in the second half, Spurs did not shoot well. Shot 38.8% from the field, overall. So they missed a lot of shots. It allowed the Pelicans to grab a lot of rebounds. Spurs don't really go for offensive boards a ton, though they're not horrible at it. But the Pelicans were just able to play their games. Their shots were falling. They were getting to the rim, which was good. Not just settling for jumpers. Hitting the threes when they needed to. Holiday made 3 of 6. Like I said, Solomon Hill, 5 of 7. He's a huge plus to this team if he can keep shooting like that. You know, he was brought in. They hoped the corner three would keep falling for him. It was against the Spurs, and that's what they needed. Donatas Mata-Yunus, you heard a lot about him after that game. He's kind of the big story from this weekend in this homestand, starting to play very well for the Pels. He played 22 minutes, was 4 of 6 against them, hit 1 of 2 from deep, got to the line once, made it, grabbed 7 rebounds, and again, scored 10 points. More than that, though, is his passing. He had 4 assists. His passing kind of opened up the offense when you paired him, especially out there with Anthony Davis. The ball just flows well with this team, and you've heard it all year from Alvin Gentry and from me and from wherever you check your Pelican stuff out. And it's basically, if this team is sharing the ball and passing the rock and getting movement around the horn and around the perimeter to find the extra open man and having those, you'd call them Spursian possessions, if they're doing that, they're scoring and they're looking really good. They did that against the Spurs. They got a very big win at home. It put him in the driver's seat. They were 3-2 after that on this 6-game homestand. And you had to figure going into last night, they, you know, potentially could come out of there 4-2. But basically, this shows you, if they're all playing unselfish and they're all playing into the system, this team can score and they can do well, and everyone will get theirs. You heard the list of names, and those are all the guys that scored over double figures. So it shows you there's potential on here. It's just you got to get it out of them on a night-in, night-out consistent basis. But we know this Pelicans team isn't consistent. And they showed that Sunday against the Wizards in the 107-94 loss. And in that game, so I gave you the list of all the people who scored in double figures against the Spurs. So let's look at the same list for who scored in double figures for the Pelicans against the Wizards. Anthony Davis, 36 points, 17 rebounds. Monster game from him like normal. We've come to expect this. Jrue Holiday, 26 points, 11 assists. Yeah, he's your second best offensive player, your second biggest threat. And he and Davis got the, you know, the Pels were down by, 17 at halftime. And in the end of the third, start of the fourth quarter, once they came back in, into the fourth quarter, it was he and Davis who kind of started to cut and trim that lead a little bit. You know, the Pels did well in the third quarter to get that back in control. They outscored Washington in that quarter 33-17. And then in the fourth, it was around, you know, at times 7 points. They managed to chip it away, make it look like they could steal this game. And it was due to Davis and Holiday. But then the next player to score in double figures, Donatas Mata-Yunus, double figures again. He's had a few games like that on this homestand. And the fourth player to score in double figures was nobody. So after a night where you have, you know, let's count them out again here. I can do the numbers. I have all the box scores open. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in double figures against the Spurs. 3 guys in double figures against the Wizards. Pelicans got off to a very slow start, which is kind of normal for them. That might be the one consistent thing you can expect from them. Scoring 40 points in the first half while allowing 57. And Davis actually summed it up really well in one of his post-game remarks. He said, and I'm going to quote it here, "We weren't moving the basketball. I don't think we came out and tried to play and tried not to play hard. We just, when you're giving up anything they want, dunks, layups, wide open shots, and then we come out and aren't executing offensively, it kind of just drains you mentally. And they took advantage of that." So like we had said, if the ball's not moving, they're not sharing it, it's not getting the defense off balance, at least forcing them to rotate, this Pelicans offense can become very stagnant. And that's what happened against the Wizards. And after that, they just, you know, weren't locked in. And they kind of fell apart defensively. No rotations over. You know, at one point I caught some of the radio broadcast, actually, of it, which was Daniel Salerson and John DeShazer on the call, and they were excellent at. They even said it. Yeah, you don't want to go into the fourth quarter with this Wizards team trying to trade buckets, because one, you're behind, so that's not necessarily going to help you get a lead. You need to get a stop. But the Pelicans weren't able to do that, and they ended up getting this game. You know, the game got away from them with a final score of 107-94, a 13-point loss, when, frankly, they were within three at one point. And, you know, they'd come back from an 18-point deficit. But when you start that slowly, you have to use all that energy just to try and get to an even playing field. It's tough to come back from that. Same thing happened against the Thunder on this homestand. They got into an early hole. They battled back to at least make it close at one point. But then the energy was just gone because you burned it all trying to just get to even. And they weren't able to get ahead, weren't able to get a lead, and they stopped executing. And it was just a rough situation for the team. And I've been saying, I think this is on the coaching staff. You know, their job is to get these guys to come out to play hard and to be motivated and to motivate them. And at times it happens, yeah. But there's other times when it doesn't. And that inconsistency, that's largely what the coaches can try and control. They can't go out there and make shots for the Pelicans. They can't go out there and necessarily make those guys get steals or grab rebounds. They can't force the opponent to miss. But they can control the attitudes and the mental aspect. And at times, these coaches, they do it, but they don't do it consistently enough. And then you have a game. You know, you have this homestand, look at it, with wins over the Spurs and the Cavs. Yet a huge loss to Brooklyn. And games where they could have won against the Thunder and, you know, at times looked like they could have beaten the Wizards, but didn't. And it's this up and down, and it just, there's no reason why this looks like it's going to end. You know, they can't force the guys to pass the ball and to keep ball movement going, but you can make subs to get the guys in who are doing that. You can make substitutions to get those other guys out that aren't. And you can change your rotation, change the game plan a little bit. Say, hey, we're not just going to throw the ball to Davis and completely abandon him, which happened in the Wizards game. They got him the ball on the low block or the hot, you know, the free throw line extended. And there was no guard there to be able to be an outlet, so he had to do something himself. You're not going to have ball movement then when there's no one to pass to. And this has been the problem with the team all year. Again, I'm not telling you guys anything you haven't already heard. And it's going to be a big reason why if they miss out on the playoffs, you know, you can kind of point to this up and down. 3-3, you need to keep pace with these teams because, well, let's just jump into it right now. I have the standings up. So let's look at some of the things here. So now Pels with a 19-29 record are three games back of the Denver Nuggets for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Nuggets are 21-25, three games back. Over their last 10, the Pelicans, let's start there, are 5-5, which isn't bad. It's not a losing record. But you had a homestand where you were in position to go 4-2. And that record easily could be 6-4. And they'd have another game here made up on the Nuggets and only be two games back. Three is going to be pushing it for this team, especially when you're about to go on the road for three tough games against Toronto, against Detroit, and against Washington again, who kind of, you know, just beat you. So below the Nuggets in the ninth spot are Portland. Well, let's go up. So Pelicans are 11 now, three games back. Above them are the Sacramento Kings at 19-28. They're 2.5 games back of the eighth seed. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They don't seem like real threats to get this eighth spot. It's not the team to worry about. Portland is a game and a half back of Denver. They are 21-28. Last 10, 5-5. Okay. Not too great here. You know, Portland was the playoff team last year. They were pretty injured to start the year. They started to get healthier, but the problem is they don't really play a ton of defense. At times their offense doesn't look too good. That, you know, adding their free agent signing, blanking on names right now, you know, weren't too great for them. So you got to wonder if they're going to maybe fall off. I also said at the start of the year, they seemed like the team that was primed to take a step back. You always have that young team that overachieves, gets into the playoffs, and then next year doesn't. Think about the Pelicans from a few years ago. Portland, you know, was the obvious choice for that this year. Denver, 21-25 in as the eighth seed right now. Want to know their last 10? 7-3. Now, their record is very, very tough coming up. But 7-3 in your last 10, that's putting distance between you and the opposition there. Now, the Pelicans, like I said, in at 11. You want to know who's kind of nipping right behind them? Only 3.5 games back of that 8th seed? Minnesota Timberwolves, 18-29. Their last 10, 7-3. The Pelicans here are competing with 1, 2, 3, 4 teams for this 8th spot. And I've said, a few years ago when they were competing with the Thunder to get into the A spot where they got in on the last day after blowing out the Spurs, you know, they were only competing with the Thunder, who were very injured at that time. Ibaka was out, I believe, and so was Kevin Durant. Here you're competing with four fully healthy teams. That's not a recipe to get into the playoffs. They certainly need to make a move. There's, you know, not really going to be the ability to do a ton of that, unfortunately. So one of the things I'm going to be doing with some of the guys over at Basketball Insiders is they have a GM for every team. I'm going to be the GM for the Pelicans. We're going to all email back and forth and use the NBA trade machine and try and make trades with each other to see if we can make moves to try and improve our teams or whatever the goal is to do here. I'll be taking over for Dell Demps here in this fictional scenario, of course. But it's not like those guys are just going to do deals just to do deals. This is going to be a challenge. And I'm going to try and figure out a way to get the Pels into the playoffs. Probably not going to be too easy, but I'm going to see what I can do. So I'll give you guys updates as that goes on. But Pelicans here, you know, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. You're going to have to give up future assets to get into the playoffs, and you might not even make it. Then if you don't make it, you've given up a future asset, and now I'm assuming the lottery pick isn't going to go to you and it's going to go to somewhere else. Unless you get some lottery luck, but you're not going to bank on that. So the Pels are in a bit of a spot. They need to quit doing this up and down business, and they need to start just winning, and they need to get, you know, a handful of games where they're above 500 over a little period. Three games here, three games there, six games total. You need to win some damn games. You can't keep blowing it. You can't keep saying, oh, we didn't have good ball movement. Figure it out. Not obviously, it's easy for me to scream into a microphone and say that. I'm not an NBA head coach. But where, you know, this was game, I forget, 47, I think it was, for the Pels this year. And you're still having the same issues you had game one. What does that tell you? Think about it a little bit. We're certainly going to talk about it more tomorrow on Locked On Pelicans. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Hopefully with this three-game road trip coming up, the Pels can get some wins. Next home game going to be Monday. I think it's against the Suns in the Smoothie King Center. Play tomorrow against Toronto in Canada. I'll have that preview for you guys, tell you how the Pelicans can maybe win that game and see if they can get right back on track. They can continue most likely the up and down season they've had here. So thank you all for listening. Also going to talk about Donatas Mata-Yunas later in the week. He's been a nice bonus for the Pelicans, a good signing for them, a good way they can get a look at him going forward. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, as usual, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Also writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where I had an article go up last week on the small ball lineup, so give it a read as well. So that's it for today, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.